Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
So let's dive right into it. Before we do, caveat, right? This is a pre-tape, so those of you listening on Saturday night, there are probably going to be some statistics and some things that I say about the Chicago Cubs that I like a lot that might have changed just slightly over the last 3 days or so, so bear with me. But as you can tell, the Chicago Cubs off to a pretty decent start so far. Again, as I'm taping this right now, they're about to head out to LA to play the Dodgers. They could easily get swept. They could come home licking their wounds and with a lot more questions than answers. But as of this right now, strong homestand. They go 4-2 against the San Diego Padres, against the Texas Rangers. That's nothing to sneeze at. Something to feel good about for the Chicago Cubs, and we're definitely going to dive into that in just a moment. So let's do it. Here we go. Our top five Chicago sports spring burning questions. Number one, let's stick with the Chicago Cubs. This is the one living in the here and now right now, and I want to focus on the Chicago Cubs because they are the team that is actually trying to put a winning product out there on the field in 2025. Pat on the back to you. Other Chicago sports teams, you know you can do better. We'll get to you Bears in just a little bit. But my first question is, should the Chicago Cubs extend Kyle Tucker? More importantly, that one's an easy rhetorical yes. The question is, can the Chicago Cubs extend Kyle Tucker this season before he hits the free agent market? Before Scott Boras gets his claws into him? Can the Chicago fan base, can the Ricketts ownership, and can successful baseball on the north side convince Kyle Tucker to sign a contract and stick around? For those of you that haven't gotten an opportunity to watch a lot of the Chicago Cubs, Kyle Tucker, as I mentioned in the preseason preview, is really good at baseball. He is an absolute monster. Now, before this series, heading out to LA, which they've played a couple of games, by the time you're listening to this on a Saturday, I understand, at the time of this taping, he is leading the Major League Baseball in hits. He's leading them in RBIs. He's got a 2-1 walk-to-strikeout ratio. And you know what? The team is hitting 290 with running and scoring position. The team is also leading the Major League in scoring right now by quite a margin. The Chicago Cubs are also leading the Major Leagues in player war. The Chicago Cubs are also leading the league in run differential. So it isn't a question of, is Kyle Tucker the rug that ties the room together? The question is, can the Chicago Cubs extend Kyle Tucker in midseason, this year, by July, by August 1? I'm not sure that they can do it, but they damn sure try. They better give it their best effort. There was a report on The Athletic earlier this week that the asking price, the parameters, the structure for what a Kyle Tucker deal might look like starts at 10 years and $470 million. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm the Chicago Cubs, I'm sprinting to that. I am pedal to the metal, breaking some laws, speeding down the street, running, racing, whatever that movie trailer is for Tron, I'm getting on that thing and I am booking it right now towards that money. For those of you not familiar, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., a guy often talked about on this show, a guy that I wanted the Chicago Cubs to trade for last year, trade for this offseason, and then obviously I wanted them to go after him in free agency this offseason, no longer on the market. 13-year deal, $500 million. Couple of reasons for that. One, the 13 years allows the Toronto Blue Jays to spread out that money a little bit more. The 13 years also because Vladimir Guerrero is several years younger than Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker will most likely be 29 by the time that he signs whatever deal that it is that he's going to sign at the conclusion of this year, or hopefully for the Chicago Cubs' sake, in midseason. 10 years at $470 million. I know that sounds like a lot to some fans, but I promise you right now, in 5 or 6 years, that is going to look like a fantastic contract. And that's the part that I keep saying about the Chicago Cubs when Tom Ricketts talks about we don't want to spend big money here, X, Y, and Z. This big money is only going to get worse. At some point, you have to bite at the apple, right? You have to go after somebody. You go back and look at the 13-year, $330 million deal that Bryce Harper got, and you're like, wow, what a discount. Back then, that was too pricey. Now we're in the realm where Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani get $700 million deals. Vladimir Guerrero gets a $500 million deal. Kyle Tucker is worth his salt with all those offensive players. I'm not saying that he's the same, but he is in the same tier. So 10 years at $470 million, that is a steal of a deal, ladies and gentlemen. Chicago Cubs should run to that deal and make it happen. Will they have the appetite, though? That is always the big question. The biggest contract handed out in Chicago Cubs history is still Jason Hayward. Yes, they gave money to Dansby Swanson, but at the same time, there's three other shortstops that very same year in that window, in that free agent cycle, that got more money than him. When we talk about Alex Bregman, could he have been a Chicago Cub? Well, he could have been. They made an offer. The only difference is it was a distant third to the $170 million that the Detroit Tigers handed out. And the money that the 3-year, $120 million deal that the Boston Red Sox handed out. Cubs had $120 million, but that was over 4 years. Different money, different AAV. Will the Chicago Cubs ever step up and pay top dollar for top-end talent? They've got one in their uniform right now, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is a professional at the plate. He knows how to work a count. He knows how to hit the ball over the fence. And he knows how to do that thing that many people, many analytics people have decried over the last several years. The RBI doesn't mean anything. I think that's hogwash. I still think the RBI means a lot because it means execution. It means coming through in the clutch moments. And that is what Kyle Tucker does. And if you look up and down this Cubs lineup right now, that's leading the major leagues in runs. That's leading the major leagues as of this taping in run differential. He is leading this lineup right now. And it is a domino effect that you can't imagine. Seiya Suzuki off to a strong start, protected in the lineup by Kyle Tucker. The back half of the lineup, all of a sudden now, is the type of back half of lineup that every time you go over there, last year they were automatic outs. This year it is pure chaos. Matt Shaw not hitting the ball, but guess what? He's getting on base. He's scoring runs. PCA, every time he gets on base, he's stealing a base, getting into scoring position, rolling the lineup over. Here comes Ian Happ. Here comes Kyle Tucker. Here comes Seiya Suzuki. Here comes Chicago Cubs runs. And if I could say anything, we do a lot of talking and grandstanding, and I'm on my soapbox, and look, it's not my money. And I've been saying it honestly since 2020 before the Cubby Corps got traded. That Mr. Ricketts, ever since they won the World Series, feels like that he's just done enough. And unfortunately, I think he's caught up in an industry, aka billionaires, where if your profit margin isn't matched or exceeded upon each every single year, you're doing it wrong and you're a loser. You make $68 million 1 year. The next year you make $66 million. What are you doing wrong? You still made $66 million. And I just don't think he's willing for that type of investment. But I will tell you, there is something that Cubs fans can do about this. And if you're listening to this, listening to Sports Talk Chicago right here on WLSM 890, I think the Chicago Cubs can have a hand and have a say in somehow getting Kyle Tucker to return. And all you got to do is be a passionate Cubs fan. And I'm imploring all Cubs fans to make this decision a miserable one for Tom Ricketts. Are you telling me that if we have a summer where Kyle Tucker makes an all-star game, takes us to the playoffs, leads the team in home runs, hits the most home runs over 30, 35, maybe I had him at 37 to start the year, hits the most home runs since Chris Bryant, has a Derek Lee-type season. And you're telling me if the Chicago Cubs, the fans, were already creating nicknames, King Tuck, we're already making signs. I think we need to go full bore. We need to do the we are not worthy in right field just like Sammy Sosa. We need to make Kyle Tucker a cult hero. We need to make him a household name. We got to hold the Cubs ownership. They've got to hold their feet to the fire. Make them look in the mirror and actually say to themselves, are we really going to let this guy go? Are we really going to let this fan favorite go? Are we really going to let Kyle Tucker, King Tuck, the guy with the signs, the guy that's packing the seats in right field, the guy that's doing the we are not worthy and getting the curtain calls all summer long. The attraction, the crown jewel of this team, the true star on the Chicago Cubs, are we really going to let him walk? Cubs fans, you can put your finger on that scale by just being passionate and just by cheering for this dude. And guess what? To this point, it is not a hard thing to do. It's pretty easy to root for Kyle Tucker because he's an amazing baseball player. He's a top eight hitter in this game. 10 years, $470 million. Sign me up. You're telling me right now a Chicago Cubs team that's about 180-ish in payroll, 230 is the first tier of the luxury tax. You take 17 off of that with Kyle Tucker's current deal. You're telling me if you didn't front load that thing, you couldn't at least swallow it and figure it out as a Cubs philosophical ownership standpoint. We don't hand out big contracts. Those contracts in the back half, they always look ugly. Well, then front load it. Pay top dollar for top dollar performance now and lower your AAV on the back half of that deal. It seems pretty simple. Pay the tax, pay the check now, and later on reap the rewards at a lower number. 10-year, $470 million. Let's just say, throw it out there, you paid him $60 million a year for those first 2 years. It turns into an 8-year, $350 million deal. Suddenly, that turns into a $30 million guy, not the $47 million that you were paying before. There are ways to do this. And if you're the Chicago Cubs, you really have to think long and hard about it. We have one more burning question coming for the Chicago Cubs later in the show, which is also going to speak volumes about where this team could possibly go this year. They're off to a good start right now. The schedule in April and in May is difficult, but so far they are up to the task. But right now with this lineup, there's good things going on. There's a little bit of some remember me situation going on at second base and shortstop with Nico Hoehner and Dansby Swanson. In Dansby's case, he's healthy. He's hitting the ball over the fence. He's playing great defense. He's definitely having a, hey, remember me from 2 years ago. I'm not the player I was last year. I'm back to being the player I was 2 years ago. I'm back to being the player I was with the Atlanta Braves. He's shown that so far. Nico Hoehner was solid last year. But Nico Hoehner, it can be a borderline all-star. And so far to this point in this season, he's showing it, hitting over 300, getting on base, stealing a ton of bases, and rolling that back half of the lineup over. Seiya's been hot. Ian Happ, doing Ian Happ things. The catching position, combined with Miguel Amaya and Carson Kelly, off to a great start. Let's keep rocking and rolling. Fingers crossed, Justin Steele only on the injured list for a short span of time. That might have to do something. Have to do with my burning question coming up later. But if you're the Chicago Cubs, again, this is obvious. Not my money, but 10 years, $470 million for Kyle Tucker. I do that deal tonight. I do it tomorrow morning. I do it yesterday. And I'm telling you, if you're the Chicago Cubs fans, leave no stone unturned. Every time this guy steps on the field or steps in the box, you cheer your heart out. You give him the curtain calls. You give him the we are not worthies. You call him King Tuck wherever he goes because we need to show ownership in Chicago that this guy, we need this dude. He is borderline irreplaceable. Put the feet to the fire. So if the Chicago Cubs do walk away from Kyle Tucker, what kind of look does that say? What does ownership not signing Kyle Tucker say to a Cubs fan base that adores that guy? I'm not going to get into the ticket prices. I'm not going to get into the revenues. We've done that on previous shows. Long short of it, the Chicago Cubs are making a profit. And it is long time coming that the Chicago Cubs fulfill a little bit of that promise by signing a guy like Kyle Tucker long term. And if it's 10 years and $470 million, sign me up. I feel like this is going to be a topic I'm going to be covering a lot more here on the show on Sports Talk Chicago right here on WLS AM 890 every single Saturday. So I don't want to get too deep into it, but I was just pondering. Chicago Cubs playing good baseball right now. Again, if you're listening to this, this is a bit of a pre-tape. So I don't have all the results for how the Chicago Cubs have done against the vaunted Dodgers over the last couple of days. But again, long season. Cubs off to a good start. If you had to ask yourself today, what do the Chicago Cubs need more? Do they need a front-end starter, or do they need a lockdown closer? You could only pick one. Which one do the Cubs need more? This one's really close, because they need both. They need both. Justin Steele currently on the injured list right now, elbow tendinitis. Hopefully it's just abundance of caution, right? Early on in the season, nip it in the bud. Don't make him run through it. Closer's also been an issue, though. We all had to deal with the Hector Neris last year. And Ryan Pressly, veteran presence, been there, done that, totally get it. But the stuff, for me personally, is very hittable. And he doesn't have any wipeout nasty to his game that if he gets behind in the count, he can wipe it out and kind of neutralize it. He worries me a little bit. I personally still think Porter Hodge at some point this season will eventually become the closer. The same thing that happened in Houston, where Ryan Pressly was their closer for several years, eventually ceded his job when they went out and signed Josh Hader. I think Porter Hodge might eventually supplant Mr. Ryan Pressly as the closer. But you got to ask yourself, Cubs, again, sitting about $50 million underneath that first level luxury tax. Do they go out and can they go out and then get a frontline guy? Hodge moves into the ninth inning role. Who replaces him? Tough to say. Maybe that is Ryan Pressly. They really only have some guys right now that can be trusted. It's Julian Merriweather, Brad Keller, Ryan Brazier, who hasn't pitched yet, but I'm still trusting him anyways for right now because he's not Eli Morgan, Porter Hodge, and Ryan Pressly. If you're asking me, I do think that front-end starter, the Dylan Cease type, is probably more impactful for your team. Chicago Cubs, however, do have depth at the starting pitching rotation position. So the closer is something that they've thirsted after and lusted after for quite some time. The only problem is the ownership group and general manager just haven't really tried very hard. They think that they can plug it in each and every single year and roll the dice with a different guy. Clearly, it hasn't worked to this point. I would keep an eye on one guy from the closer position. And this has got a couple of caveats. One, the guy has to continue to pitch well. And the other one is if the Houston Astros fall out of contention in July, I am curious to see if they're going to try and move Josh Hader's money off the books. And if Josh Hader is pitching well, a reunion with him and Craig Counsell at the back end of that bullpen with some of that money from the four-year $100 million deal already eaten a little bit, it makes you think. It won't cost him much because it'll only cost money. So you can keep your precious prospects, Cubs fans. It would only cost money to bring Josh Hader over. Something to consider and something to think about.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.